who had 2015, y'all. This is the year. All right, so I told y'all in the beginning, about 8 weeks ago, I told y'all the problem is average. So we start off by breaking down the problem. Now I got to break this part down, y'all. The problem is average. Look, 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 look. You can have it. You can do it. You can be it. But you can't get there from average. I'm going to say it again. You can have it. You can do it. You can be it. Look at ET as an example. There's absolutely no excuses. But look, look, you cannot get there from average. So I don't really know. Look, I ain't trying to be disrespectful. So I'll be careful how I say this because I know, you know, people take your words and, you know, they mess up your words. So I want to make sure I'm careful with this. But we was having some struggles, let's just say, in the Olympics in men's basketball. All right, and I think what was happening at that time was very competitive because we were sending like McDonald's All-Americans, but we were sending college folks. Yep. And here's the deal, though. We knew, just like in every other area, we knew as the United States of America, we could win the gold medal. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, I'm not being disrespectful. I'm not minimizing folks' talent. I ain't never played basketball on that level before, so. Again, I'm not trying to disrespect nobody. But I'm just going to say it wasn't happening, right? It did not happen. You can't get there from average. It don't mean you can't get there. You just can't get there from average. And so what the United States decided to do was they said we're going to take this to the next level because we got gold medal in us in this area, right? So we can't send, forgive me, but we can't send the average hoopers no more. Nope. They put a plan together. They said, we will win the gold medal, but this is what they did. In 1992, baby, they brought in Michael Jordan. Yup. In 1992, they brought in Showtime, Magic Johnson. Yup. They brought in Larry Bird. Scottie Pippen. That's right, Clyde Drexler. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They brought in Barkley, baby. Are you listening to what I'm telling you? They brought in the best of the best. Now, let me break it down for you. Not only did they bring in the best of the best, they came up with a name for them called the Dream Team. And let me say this to you again. You can't get to where you're going. Yep. You want the car. You want the great car. You want the phenomenal life. You want the phenomenal mayor. You want the phenomenal family. You want the phenomenal income. Like, you just want it all. You just want phenomenal in every single area because you don't want to be forgotten. And I get it. Everything that you dream of, everything that you envision, everything on your dream board is phenomenal except for you. Yep, I'm going to say it again. Everything that you want, everything that you dream of, everything that you want to possess is phenomenal. The only struggle is you not phenomenal. That's the problem. And so they brought in the best of the best, guys. Let me tell you something. I want to make sure that you're clear on this. They brought in 10. Listen to me. When you brought that 13 years of experience together, you had like 10 NBA championships. Are you hearing me? You had like 7 NBA finals. Come on, MVPs. You had 8 regular season MVPs. Look, you had 6 of the top scorers ever in the NBA. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? Again, you got Hall of Famers. And that was just in 1992. By the time they ended their careers, I don't know what they had. What am I telling you? They brought in great to get the gold. They brought in great to get the gold. And I'm telling you today, you cannot get where you're trying to get to being average. Okay, all right, I'm getting out of here. But I traveled the country this year. I did an exercise. If you was in the room, you heard it. I asked people to raise their hand. How many people in this room give it 120%? I'm telling you, less than 1% of people raise their hand. How many people give it 90%? Less than 2% of everybody in that room raise their hand. How many people give it 80%? Listen to me, less than 20% of people raise their hand and say 80%. But when I say 70 and below, I'm telling you almost 50, 60% of people in the room raise their hand. So then I start asking the question, is it that you're not where you're supposed to be because you don't have what it takes? Are you not where you're supposed to be because you don't have the ability? Are you not where you're supposed to be because you don't have the talent? Are you not where you're supposed to be because you don't have the opportunity? No. What it boiled down to is you're not where you're supposed to be because you're average. Every single thing you do is average. And yet you want to be great and you want to be phenomenal. Forget about it. I'm suggesting to you that if you want to be great, beast mode first quarter, beast mode second quarter, beast mode third quarter, beast mode fourth quarter. I suggest you go to bed at 11 o'clock and you still get up at 8 o'clock. Beast mode. I suggest that you're the first in the class and you're the last one to leave. Beast mode. I suggest that you study every single page. You take every single note. You listen to every single thing the teacher tells you. Beast mode. You go to the training and you're listening and you're writing and you beast modes. Beast modes. And if you can learn to get in the beast mode, you can have whatever you want. You can be whatever you want. And you can do whatever you want. But you can't do it from the average. It's your boy. Be phenomenal.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How are you?
Doing well.
Good, Sean.
Awesome, man. A little bit of Eric Thomas for you guys. If you're not following him, you definitely should look him up. E.T., the hip-hop preacher, is what he goes by on social media and on YouTube. And, man, I just learned his story that guy actually, like, he's huge. And he came out of nowhere in 2011. Prior to that, he was a coach at Michigan State University. And I don't know exactly which. I think he was on the football team somewhere, something like that. Not like a head coach or anybody like that. But decided that he was going to be a speaker, and he was kind of doing things on the side, and went full time in just 2011, and has just completely blown up. So always love hearing success stories like that. He's a good guy, and lots of inspiration. But I think that video is really it really captures the essence of this chapter two that we're looking at in chapter two and three of the 10X, and really just 10Xing our activity and looking at our goals and the activities that we've been doing and putting in 10 times the effort. And I think he makes a really valid point in that most of the time we can really look at ourselves and we can say that we're not doing everything that we know we need to do in order to get the things that we have. And I like how he said that, you know, when you look at your vision board, everything on it is phenomenal except you. Man, that is just so true. Like, I find myself, like, you know, making excuses of being tired or, oh, I need to, you know, I need to check out and, you know, get some me time, and I don't want to burn myself out and things like that. I always make all kinds of excuses for not doing everything that I know that I should in order to get where I know that I want to go. And I think every one of us at some level are guilty at that. I think there's always more that we can be doing, and I think that we find ourselves shortcutting ourselves far too often, and then that leads to the problem of where Grant comes in and says it's not the goal, it's the activity. And typically what we tend to do is, instead of pushing ourselves on the activity, we end up just bringing down the goal and saying, well, you know what, I don't really want to get uncomfortable, and I don't really want to do these extra things, and I don't want to do 10 times the activity. I'm already tired now. I'm already, you know, working 50 or 60 hours a week. I'm already doing all of these things. Instead of reaching that high, I'm just going to bring that back so that I don't have to work further. And I think that, you know, helping being consciously aware of that and keeping some of these things in the forefront of our mind and working through the 10X rule and really adopting and buying into that mindset. I think, you know, if you would just grind it out with a 10X activity and the 10X mindset for the rest of this year, even not even for an entire year, but just for the rest of this year, commit to like really saying, I'm going to be able to walk home every day from the office and know that I did every single thing possible. I know that whenever I was in my first year, that was to get that rookie of the year status. Like, I would literally set goals and I would not leave the office until either A, it became inappropriate to call people and follow up at that hour, or B, I hit the target. And sometimes I would have to walk out of there at 8:30, 9 o'clock at night, and I didn't get that extra sale that I was looking for when I said, you know, I'm not leaving until I close 5 deals today. And I would hammer those phones until that 5th deal came in, or until it was dark enough outside and it would become inappropriate to start calling people back. And then I'd have to say, all right, at some point I got to call it quits. I mean, I can't do this, you know, all night long. But there were also times where, you know, when you wake up in the morning, when you're so excited about what you're doing and you know, things are really going great and your mind is just racing because you have so much that you're inputting, you know, things like from Grant's training or from new strategies that we're teaching, or you got leads coming in, you just got all these ideas of expansion, and you've got that restless energy that you just can't sleep, and you wake up in the middle of the night and feel like you're ready to go back to work. You know, I had those nights where it was 3-4 o'clock in the morning, and I would wake up and I would feel like my body would be like, it's time, let's go, we're ready to go. And rather than going back to sleep and waking up at a more appropriate hour, I would just get dressed and go to the office at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. and just get started doing what I need to do. And, you know, just, I did that for one solid year, and that 1 year I was able to build the well-oiled machine that allowed me in the very following year to still increase my production, increase my business by 56% year over year. And I took 12 vacations year two and still did 56% more than I did the first year. So I wholeheartedly believe that if you would really just stick your nose to the grindstone for the rest of this year and like really grind out harder than you ever have before, you will see some amazing results. And the great thing is, it's kind of like marketing. It's kind of like these lead generation funnels. You know, you put these things together and you put time, effort, and energy in learning it on the front side. And from there, it just becomes managing the funnels. The same thing holds true with you know, that effort and doing that 10X, putting in that 10X effort. You know, you do it for a short period of time and you just go, for lack of a better term, sorry for the ladies on the call, but balls to the wall for a short period of time. You build something that can't be stopped. You get that momentum going that just you would have to utterly try hard not to increase your business, because you've built a foundation and you've built something that is bigger than you and bigger than your efforts. And it keeps going. And it's one of those momentum things that just can't be stopped unless you go in and try to do something to screw it up or walk away from it. Anyway, so we got Daniel on the call. Sorry about the mix up on time today. We're going to resume back at 11:30 next week. I posted it in the group. That way there's no confusion. I know the last couple of times, last two calls, we've kind of screwed that up. But it's posted. It's there. There shouldn't be any mix up moving forward. But I called Daniel the other day and asked him if he would be willing to lead the call. And he said that he would. I think, like I said, this is something that I want to go through with you guys. You know, I'm going through the book just like you are, and I'm learning and applying the same as you are. So I think it would be helpful and useful for all of us that each week we can just have kind of some new perspective and have somebody lead the call each week. And Daniel's going to lead it this week, and he took some notes and is going to share some things with you. But before we do that, I want to go over a couple of quick points on the exercises to see if we can get some input. Did anybody answer the question, how would being successful be important to you, and how would it improve your life? That's kind of a difficult question to answer at a deep level. Did anybody take the time to answer that and want to share it?
Yeah, hey, Sue.
Hey, Sue.
I did take the time. Everything's echoing right back at me. So is it echoing on your end?
Not for me.
You're good now. Okay. You're good now. Right. Someone must have muted themselves out.
Okay. All right. So I put that it would put me in a position financially that would make me secure. But it would also give me a sense of confidence that I don't think I ever had. So that's how I answered it.
Okay. Secure in what way?
I think secure financially, but just secure in life in general. You know, it's me, it would also give me a sense of confidence. So,
what does success look like for you?
I think it was on Farmers Jose speaking. How can I help you?
Oh, well, who is that?
Seriously?
I hear what.
Hey, yeah, hey, sorry.
There we go.
Seriously, dude?
Yeah, right. All right. What does success look like for you, Sue?
It means hitting my goals, being able to make decisions based on where I want to go, not where I am financially at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least that's how that's probably more of a now or a past question. For the first time I'm going to be debt free here. I am debt free at this point. I don't have any junk debt. I have a mortgage, but this is a first for me. And, it feels really good. And I realize it gives me a sense of confidence, but there's still things out there that I want, and if I meet my goals, I would just feel like I have more control of my goals financially. If I hit my goals, I'm going to be financially sound, you know,
sure.
Where I don't have to worry about things, that I can be more of like creating my future rather than worrying about, oh, how's that going to happen?
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, one of the,
I don't know if I'm.
Yeah, no. One of the things that I've always said, and Grant says it a little bit differently, but one of the things that I've always said is that, you know, money isn't the money isn't what you strive for, but when you have money, it gives you options. And what Grant says is success gives you freedom. So success gives you options, and it allows you to be able to freely choose with a different end game in mind. Instead of choosing based on what I can afford, you're choosing based on what I want, and you're making end goal decisions, and you start living with the end in mind instead of living with, well, can I make this bill next month, or can I do this thing, or if I pay for this, what am I going to not have to pay in the future? And there is a certain level of confidence that comes with that. You know, when you have your business to a place where you can actually let people know that I don't think this is going to be a good fit. You know, maybe somebody else would be a better fit for you, and you can start really building a business that it is something that's building freedom for you, and that's enjoyable, rather than something that's just a grind every day that you got to go to. And, you know, it's like this constant battle between you and your business on who's going to win that day. And it's not something that you feel like you're dragging ass into, and it's something you're excited about. And, you know, like I said, those sleepless nights that you get, not because of anxiety of where your next deal is coming from, but because you've got so much freedom and so many options that are now available to you when you reach that level. So I definitely understand where you're coming from and what you're saying there. Does anybody else have an answer to that question today? Did you guys think about that? Did you want to share how is being successful important to you, and how does it improve your life?
Well, the main reason why I got into the insurance industry to begin with is the freedom and flexibility of not being tied to a desk and being tied to an incompetent manager who's not working as hard as I am and who makes $30,000 more than me. So,
right.
I mean, freedom for me is being able to do what we need to do when we need to do it, and being the captain of the ship, so to speak. And I can't think of a better position to be in than where we are right now. And I'd still be riding a desk in corporate America, and that would be freaking miserable.
Right? I could never go back.
I can't. No, I was telling my wife a few months ago, I was like, I'm ruined. There is no option but success. Like,
right.
We have to be successful because I can't do anything else. I can't ever go back to 9 to 5. I would be the worst employee ever.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's, you know, when things get tight around here, you know, that's the thing that I keep, like, I got to think about that, like, because I don't have a plan B. I never had a plan B. Like, I have no license. My license is gone. Like, there's no going back. It's, you know, and I put myself in a position of there being no plan B. And, you know, the one thing that I think that really kept me from succeeding was that I always had some sort of a backup plan when I first started. In the real world, so to speak, when I was got out of the military and I started trying to find my way, I was that guy Grant was talking about that was suckered into multi-level marketing things and like every new gimmick that came along. Like, I would go to those Tuesday hype meetings and give them my $500, and like I always had a new like thing that I was working on while I was doing my corporate sales jobs, and I was going through that deal, and then I was in real estate, but I was also dabbling in these little MLM things, trying to find that get rich quick scheme and trying to, you know, build this empire that would give me the freedom. And I always was dabbling in these things. And when I went to State Farm and I was working for an agent, I was still dabbling in real estate here and there on the side, and like never was 100% committed to any one thing. And then when I left my deal at State Farm and went over to Liberty Mutual, it was a massive pay cut. I was, you know, making like 60 grand a year as a team member. And then I went to this Liberty Mutual thing where it was only 25,000 base. And that was going to hurt. So it was like sink or swim. If I didn't produce, it was going to be really bad for me. So I decided I was going to cut everything else on the side. I was going to put 100% into insurance, and that was going to be the deal. And it was when I did that that things, I was really able to see what I'm capable of with 110% effort, focused on one plan, one succession plan, no backup, no fallback, no like plan B or any of that extra shit. And then when I left Liberty Mutual, it was a deal where it's like, I can't go back to that. Like that, this has to work. And I think sometimes that's where we'll find ourselves in producing at the highest levels, is when we are in a position, like James said, that there is no other option. It's success. That, like, I can't think of anything other than this working. It just doesn't work. So good point, James. Thanks for sharing. All right, Daniel, you're the man with the action plan here today. So please lead us to your greatness, Daniel, son.
Oh, God. How did I know that was coming?
Oh, yes, Daniel, son.
This has got to stop right now. All right, guys. So, well, great points from Sean on going through the actual questions of the exercise. I thought one of the good points Grant made, especially in the exercise too, are what are some cute sayings you've heard about success that actually diminish the importance of success? And his one was, I love the way he said it on the audio series. Oh, success is just a journey. It's not about the destination. And then I liked how he went on to say, when things get tough, when the market gets tough, you can't pay your house bill with cute little sayings. And it's true. Cute little sayings don't pay the bills. They don't put food in your kids' mouths. I mean, they don't. They don't do anything, actually, for that matter. They don't do anything that benefits you in any way possible. I mean, they're fun to say or whatever, but they don't really benefit you in any way, shape, or form, whether it be monetary or spiritually or physically, you know, anything like that. So, I mean, they're just stupid. There's just no point in focusing on them. There's no point in really listening when other people say them or post them or other things like that. Might as well get that out of your life, because it's not going to benefit you. And if it doesn't benefit you, then it's against the 10X rule. Another point I like that he made was, no matter how superior a product is, everyone in here is – well, not everyone. A lot of us are with a common carrier. But a lot of people in the group are in different – with different carriers. And every carrier has its perks about it, or about its coverages. But the common rule for the 10X is, it doesn't matter how superior a product or service is, there's always going to be something that you don't plan for or you don't anticipate that will come up and bite you in the ass. I know everyone can relate to that. At some point, there was something that you said that just came up out of nowhere, and you were like, oh, crap, like, how do I deal with this? And that's one thing that I wrote down. I made a note about that when I saw that, that there were the things that I never anticipated for, because when you do that, when you kind of reflect on the things that you maybe dropped the ball on or just didn't plan for at all, then you can more position yourself for those other things to come. And then, of course, Grant says, when you ramp up your efforts and make a commitment, the marketplace will sense that you are a force to be reckoned with, and everything is already accounted for with the 10X rule. If you take all your efforts and 10X them, if you take all of your goals and 10X them, it doesn't matter about the little things that pop up here and there, because you're going to have so much going on already that it's just going to be absorbed. One of the things I was taught when I first started as an agent was, try to set 3 to 5 appointments per day. What that does, I mean, when you start out as a new agent, 3 to 5 appointments per day, it's hard enough to get 3 to 5 people on the phone, let alone actually get 3 to 5 people to say, yeah, I'll come into your office and sit down and speak with you. But what that 3 to 5 appointments per day sets you up for is when those people start canceling, which I know everyone remembers that, when you set your first appointment and they canceled on you or just didn't show up at all and you could never get a hold of them. Setting those 3 to 5 appointments per day, what that does is absorbs any leniency or any anything that happens in your day that would, you know, take you down or cause you to not meet your goals that you set forth. And that's the exact same principle with the 10X rule, is if you plan for 10 times the amount, 10 times the action, 10 times the results, then when certain things fall through or certain things fall short, you're not left standing there saying, well, what do I do next? Because you've already got your goal. You've already got your 10X. And then Sean already touched on it, but I really – this hit me hard as far as with never reducing your targets and instead always increase your actions. When Grant said that, it just kind of made – like sent a shiver up my spine. I was like, you know, that's right. Whenever things like seem really hard, like with farmers, we have to write 4 life policies per quarter. When I first started, that was a real struggle for me. And there's not really any option to reduce the target. But I always wondered, like, man, why has it got to be so much? Instead of saying that, why does it have to be so much? Why does this have to be so hard? I should have asked myself, what can I be doing to make this easier? And I think that's a question that everybody needs to ask themselves whenever they're facing challenges or facing something that's difficult for them to achieve. Instead of asking why this rule is this way or why this product is so expensive or, you know, et cetera, just ask yourself, well, what can I do to make this easier? What can I do to achieve this in an easier, more efficient fashion? And when you do that, instead of sitting there and complaining and belly aching about why this is the way it is, when you instead focus on getting there easier, getting there more efficiently, your whole world changes, because instead of doing nothing, which is what you're doing when you're complaining, you start doing something, and something is always better than nothing. I think everyone can agree on that. Something is always better than nothing. And then another thing was never rationalize failure. Don't. Grant said he started coming up with a detailed list of reasons of why things weren't going the way he wanted them to. Maybe it was the market. Maybe it was the people. Maybe it was the et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, in the Chapter 2 exercise, Grant says the 10X rule assumes that the target is never wrong. Any target attacked with the right amount of action and the right amount of increments with persistence is attainable. And that can be in any form of business. Obviously, we're all talking about insurance, but that can be implemented in any business ever. If you just set your goal and set a roadmap to that goal and follow that roadmap and take the right amount of action in the right amount of increments as laid out in this roadmap to get to that goal, it'll be obtainable. It doesn't matter if your goal is to write 1,000 policies in 1 year or whatever it is, or write 50 policies in a month or 80 policies in a month. If you set the roadmap and take the right amount of action to get to that goal, you will get there. It's attainable. It's not impossible. I mean, there are other agents doing it. So why not you? And then just actually going through the exercise here, what is the first reaction most people have when not hitting your targets? And that's to make excuses of why the goal didn't get reached, why the, you know, et cetera, all those things, all those excuses that can be made. That's the first reaction. And Grant said it best, whenever you do make excuses for your organization or for your own self, you lower morale and you lower expectations for the future goal. Because if you don't achieve your first goal and you say, well, then I'll just reduce the next one. That way I don't have to let myself down again. You shouldn't do that, because you shouldn't make excuses or reduce any goals. Like Grant said, just increase your actions and you'll get there. And then the next exercise was, when you start making excuses for why you're not hitting your targets, what should that indicate to you? And Grant said it, you didn't. If that happens, you didn't correctly estimate the actions needed to make it to that goal or target. And that's really important, to correctly estimate those actions by 10Xing them, by saying whatever I think it's going to take to make this goal to write, whatever it's going to take me to write 45 policies this month, what I think it's going to take as far as phone calls, you know, you've got your formula down, like I need to make 37 calls to get in front of this many people to write this many policies, take that and 10X it. And I know that sounds like a lot, but make it scalable, obviously. I think Susan had messaged me asking me if she followed the 10X rule to the T, if she wanted to write 40 policies and she 10X'd it, that would be 400 policies a month. Well, by herself, 400 policies is a goal, but it's probably not scalable for herself to achieve. So you got to make it scalable. If you want to write 40 policies, whatever this number comes out, I'm just going to throw out an example. If you need to write 40 policies, if that's your goal to write 40 policies, and you set out the roadmap to write 40 policies, go ahead and maybe make the goal or the actions to get to, make it 50 or 60 policies towards the goal. That way, if you get to 50 or 60 policies, hell yeah, you wrote 50 to 60 policies, you're a rock star. But if you don't, you'll still surpass the original goal of 40, or you should surpass the original goal of 40. And that was honestly my biggest takeaway from chapter two, was just 10x your actions. Whatever your goal is, plan that it's going to take even more than what you initially planned on to make that goal. Another thing he said was assume every project you undertake is going to take more time, more energy, more money, and more effort to achieve. And really what that does for you when you do that, it just creates a safety net. Just creates a safety net so that if you don't quite make it to the 60 policies in a month, well, you still hopefully surpass the 40 policies that you originally set out to make. And maybe you wrote 47 or 48, and who's mad about 48 policies in a single month, especially if you're by yourself and not without, five staff members. So I think that's it. The 10X really helps you account for unplanned variables. And then another thing I really took to heart from Grant was tackle every project with the 10X rule like your life depends on it. I mean, like actually when you set out to make this goal and you say, my business depends on this, my life actually depends on me achieving this goal. And when you take on that take no prisoners attitude, then really you get to go to the next level. And then another thing he said was people who are lucky are people who put forth the effort, and the more effort you put forward, the more luck you'll experience. So that was my takeaway from chapter two, was really all about effort and all about targets. Set those targets. Don't reduce them. Don't make excuses if you don't make the target. Just try harder the next time, and make your goals scalable so that you can actually get there. Don't make them reasonable. That's one of the biggest things Grant said not to do. Don't make a reasonable target, but make it scalable. Like I said, don't make your target 400 policies in a month if there's absolutely no justification of you getting there. But also don't sell yourself short. And that's obviously one of the biggest themes of the entire 10X rule, is don't sell yourself short. Don't underestimate your goals. Don't underestimate the effort and the action it's going to take to achieve your goal.
So all right. I think we've got some good discussion points here, and I'd like to get the group to chime in here. I appreciate that, Daniel. So, as I'm listening to Daniel, there's something that really stuck out to me about the Susan example, and I want to see if anybody else caught that the way that I did. Anything stick out? Because what stuck out to me was Susan set her goal before the 10X was 40. 10Xing it means 400. And Daniel said, wait, don't bring it to 400. Make it 50 or 60. And just violate the rule, the 10X, by bringing the target. Anybody else?
Well, and Sean, let me just preface.
I caught
400. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I caught that too, because on my goal, I had 80 policies a month, and I was like, 800 is nuts. But I was like, if I just push for it, right, I won't be disappointed with whatever I hit,
right,
as long as it's, I was like, I guess I just can't bring it down.
Let me preface real quick. When she said that, my goal in telling everyone wasn't to immediately say like, okay, well, I only need to write 60 in a month. 400 a month is a great goal to have, but I still think you need to make it scalable, because if you make your goal 500 and you only write 60, that's a pretty big shortfall. Yeah, 60 is still more than 40,
right,
by all means. But I still think you need to make the goal scalable, not reasonable, scalable.
What do you mean scalable?
Within a realm of possibility.
Whose
That's
possibility?
How I would define scalable.
Whose possibility?
Everyone sets their own possibility. That, I guess, my 60 was just my own example of just throwing a number out there. It doesn't have to be.
Why can't she accept 400?
Well, she can, by all means. I didn't tell her not to accept 400.
But you couldn't accept 10x of your goal. What's 10x your original goal before starting the book? What were you trying to write up each month?
It'd be about 450.
So it puts you at 450. Can you accept 450 as your goal?
Yes, as a long-term goal, most definitely.
What does long-term goal mean?
That's a question. That's kind of a loaded question that I don't know the answer to right now, but kind of like when you had in the AAIU dashboard module, when you had given us the long-term goals or the business plan sheet, I would say probably long-term for me to be actually writing. See, I'm a very realistic person. So for me to be writing 400 policies in 1 month, I'd probably say that's maybe 5-10 years down the road.
So that means that you don't – then that means between now and 5 years you have no goal?
No, I have a goal, most definitely.
What's the goal?
To take that 400 and make it scalable in any given month. I mean, I guess maybe if you take the 10X
and put it
over – You mean to
take the 400 and bring the target down?
Yeah. Yep, to violate the 10X rule, most definitely.
Right.
I see where you're getting
at. Yeah, and so this is what I talked about in the call either last week or the week before, when I talked about that coaching session that was a pivotal moment in my life, and the way that I saw things was, she said that you got to stop looking at point A to Z and trying to fit all the pieces of the puzzle together before you can wrap your brain around that goal, and before you can truly accept that goal. You're trying to see everything that has to happen. You're trying to see, Daniel, that Susan can't take one from by herself, can't take and make 400, because logically that's not possible. She's only one person. There's only so many calls she can make. There's only so many credit cards she can take. Like, it doesn't, it's not in the realm of what you can see right now. And I think that's the whole premise of the 10X mindset, is the number one rule that we violate is first being able to think, dream, and 10X our goals, and being able to truly buy into saying, yes, 400, I'm believing that for myself, beyond just like, I'm just like lofting it out there saying, yes, long-term, I want that. Like, truly believing, I'm going to write 400. I don't know how the hell that's going to happen right now today, but I don't have to see that for me to know that this is where I'm headed, and I'm going to do everything that I can to get me there. And I don't know if that means I need to make 100 calls today or if I need to make 500 calls today, but I'm going to work that piece out. That's the process, is figuring out A to Z. But I know the end game is 400. That's where I'm going. That's what I'm getting. I'm not stopping until I get there. I'm not satisfied until I get there. And I'm going to continue to put 400 every single month as my goal, and I'm going to chip away at that. And I might end up at 70. I might end up at 80. I might end up at 40, whatever that might be. But each point along the way, I'm going to reassess my actions and look at, say, what did I do to get me to 80 or to get me to 40 or 60 or whatever that number was in between? And why am I still not at 400? And slowly putting the pieces together until you get there. And then once you get there, you're going to have to 10X that thing again. And I think that's probably the fundamental premise of this book, is really being able to see that and stop shooting our goals down, stop moving the target down, because we can't see how we're going to get there with the current resources available. Because like I said, those blinders are going to be on, and you're going to be looking at the resources that you have, trying to say, okay, with what I have right now today, I can reasonably get to this point. I can logically put myself here because I have these resources available to me. So what you need to do is see it through, I have all the resources available to me. I have all the opportunity. I have everything that I need to get there. I just have to be able to see those pieces and put them into play. I have to be able to put the effort there to make that thing happen. And that's when the pieces are going to start coming together for you. Does that make sense?
Yep.
And I know it's a struggle. It's hard, because I'm still on my 10X. My 10X was, I was making $100,000 a year, and I want to get to $100,000 a month. I didn't see how that was possible, but I bought into it. I knew that was coming for me. I accepted that. It's still in my journal every day. I still haven't hit it, and I'm still putting the pieces together. I can't see it right now with the resources that I have available. I mean, I would have to make a lot of calls. I would have to hire a couple more salespeople. Like, it takes a lot, but I'm not worrying about all those pieces. I'm worrying about the target, what it's going to be. That's my end game, and I'm working on putting the pieces together and reevaluating. That's why new products come out, new pricing models come out. That's why AAIU came out, subscription model. I realized if I keep attacking with it 8 weeks, 8 weeks, 8 weeks, 8 weeks, I'm always going to be beating my head against the wall looking for that next eight-week deal. What do I need to do? I need more content, and I need to put people on a subscription model so I can build that base and keep going with the eight-week, eight-week, eight-week. And then if I build this base that's consistently coming in, providing more content, providing more value, and then I said, I don't have enough content. I haven't been doing this long enough. Where am I going to get more content? Grant has content. I got to get Grant Cardone. He has content. He's got enough content. We can keep people on for a year, 2 years, 3 years at a time. That's my goal. I got to get Grant on board. I can get Grant. Now I got enough content. I can put a subscription model together. And you just got to keep putting pieces together like that. I couldn't have told you 2 years ago that I had to get a partnership with Grant to put a subscription model together to make that thing happen. I just knew that I was going to put the pieces together as I went forward. Anybody else having trouble accepting a 10X goal?
Well, this is Sue, and obviously my logical mind jumped in there at one point, and I better message Daniel, because I'm not sure if I'm getting this, but you know, I did get it, but the logical mind stepped in, and I realized that's a long-term goal, and I don't have to know every step of the way, although I need to know that's my goal and stick with it.
Right. Is James on the call? Because James is probably one of the most logical minds that I've encountered other than Matt Schieber. we killed James. Jake's like, I can't do this 10X shit. He's already off the call. He's like, I can't do it. I'm not even going to get into that conversation. I'm not going there because 10X ain't happening to me. So, James, catch that on the replay. I'm challenging you. I want to hear your 10X goal, and I want to hear how your logical ass is going to put that together. Anybody else having trouble with 10X? Because it's a struggle, man. I promise you it is. But if you can really decide, I'm going to do 10X, like I'm going to make this happen, and really accepting that and meditating on it, writing it down. Like, I have declaration after declaration after declaration of things that are going to happen, and I keep in mind that I'm in the process. So that way, if I say 400 is the deal, and I hit 60, I don't look at that as a miserable failure or the fact that I was way off the target. I look at it as it's part of the process to get me there. I'm in the process of writing 400 policies. I'm going to have this much money in the bank. I'm going to have this many clients. I'm going to see this kind of growth, and writing that every single day as a declaration and keeping that in front of me everywhere that I go, meditating on it, thinking on it every single day. And there was a time when I was working toward that rookie of the year thing. Like, I literally had a declaration that I read every single morning before I woke up and did anything. And I kept it by my bed, and I read it every single night before I went to bed, that said the things that I would accomplish in my business as I was moving forward. What's up, Tom?
Hey, I was just going to say that whole conversation right there cleared it up for me 100%. Because I was kind of in the same mindset that 400 or 450 or 800, whichever that number is, it's a scary number. But in listening to you guys talk about it, it all kind of makes more sense to me now.
Everybody good with a 10X? Can we like write our 10X goals now? Because we've been working the past couple of calls on reevaluating our goals. And like after chapter 2 and 3, you know, I think, you know, we start to kind of put those down and we look at it and we kind of look around the room. 10X, really? Like, really 10X? Yes, really 10X, for real. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. 10X, not like 10X 5 years from now, like 10X today. We're going to do 10X today. We're going to 10X the activities today, not 5 years from now. Because if you do 10X 5 years from now, that leaves us in a space of nothing between here and there. Like, that means we're still not operating at 10X all the way there. So when we get to 5 years, there's no possible way we're going to be at 10X even 5 years from now, because we never were 10X between now and 5 years. So, Sue, are we okay with 10X now?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, yes, we are. We are, I got it.
Daniel, are we 10X today or 10X 5 years from now?
We're 10X today, Sean.
Today, for real today, because I'm not feeling 10X
I wrote
today
it down.
From Daniel.
I wrote it down. It's here. It's real. It's on paper.
And it doesn't
I read it on the internet, so it must be true.
It must be. Sean said it. But seriously, guys, like don't think like 10X the goal and then have to try to figure out this complicated maze of activities and people that we have to bring on board and like all these things. Like I have to get a new office because I'd have to have 10 salespeople and I'd have to have 3 service people. Where am I going to get these people? I better start hiring. Like it's not that serious. You don't have to know how you're getting there. Understand that. Like 10X the goal right now and 10X your activities right now of what you're doing today or yesterday, 10X that deal. And that's where you start evaluating. That's how you start putting the pieces together is by first putting the 10X down, looking at the activities, 10Xing those. And then where does that get me? Because you don't know where you're going to get with 10X because you've never done it. You've never 10Xed your activities. I promise you, you haven't. I have never done it. That's a shitload of work, man. 10X what you're doing now. Like, but 10X it and fuck, maybe you hit 5X. I don't know. But whatever you're doing, 10X those things and look at where that gets you. And then you can start to see the pieces come together and you can start to say, okay, well, with this type of activity, that's getting me here. That's still not where I need to be. So let's 10X these things. And maybe some areas don't need to be 10X. Like maybe you don't need to like 10X the lead flow coming in. Maybe you just need to 10X the appointments. Maybe you just need to 10X the conversion ratio. So, but you don't know what areas you need to 10X until you start putting it together. You start 10Xing. And so maybe you don't 10X everything at once. Maybe you say, I'm just going to 10X the lead flow. Instead of $10 a day, I'm going to drop $100 a day in this funnel. I'm going to see what happens there. Because I can tell you, big things started happening for me when I stopped fucking around with $10 and $20 a day. Now I'm at $70 to $100 a day. You know, one of the guys that I follow, Brennan Burchard, he said, if Facebook would let me spend $10,000 a day, I would do it. Like, they don't let me spend that. I would spend it all, but Mark won't let me spend that much money. And he said, if you're not spending $1,000 a day on Facebook, you're not an internet marketer. So think of that. Like he says, if you're not spending $1,000 a day on Facebook, you're not even considered an internet marketer. So, you know, think like stop playing so small. When I stopped, it just seems so common sense to me now. Like things were great at $20 a day. Why didn't I double down on that? Like, why didn't I go to 40? Why didn't I go to 60? It only makes sense. If it's working at 20, it's going to be phenomenal at 40. If you're getting leads at $5 a day, what do you think is going to happen at 15? The leads are going to stop? No, you're going to get more of them. Just 10X like some areas, or maybe you don't want to 10X the lead volume, but maybe you're going to say, I'm going to 10X the number of calls that I make and follow up this week. Maybe you're going to 10X the number of appointments that you reach to set up. Maybe you're going to 10X your referral partners. It doesn't necessarily mean that you got to 10X everything all at once, but start 10Xing certain areas and see where that gets you so you can start putting the pieces together and know this is where the efforts need to be 10X in order for me to get to this place. Does that make sense?
Yep.
I think that's what I needed to hear because I'm like looking at it, you know, kind of like, wow, that's a lot and feeling like I'm spinning my wheels and not getting any traction on anything. So I like that, picking one area.
Yeah, and just think of the whole thing. This whole thing is a process, but none of the process works until you wholeheartedly buy into it and you can accept it and you can really believe in what you're going through. Because if you're just haphazardly doing it and you're just going to leave yourself, you know, floundering around kind of half-assed and everything. But just accepting that it's a process, the most important is to keep the end game, like be clear about the end game. What does the end game look like? What is that end result? Is it 400? Is it 400,000? Is it 4 million? Like, what is that number for you? And then really wholeheartedly buy into that, envision that, and just really concentrate on that's the end game. And A to Z is the process of getting there. And so playing around with that process, manipulating it, you know, trying different things, that's where we start saying, okay, here, hit the magic number. This area, we really only need to be 5X and over here, but we need a 10X on this deal. And you can slowly start to put that business model together and know when you bring people on, hey, now I've got a roadmap, but you can't expect to bring on team members or producers or anything of that nature and then be successful if you haven't first gone down that road and built that map. You have to build that map of success first. You have to know you need to spend this much time in this area of your prospecting. You need to spend this much time on Facebook, this much time on LinkedIn, this much time on Twitter, this much time in appointments, this much time networking. And I know this because I've been down these roads. I know what I need, what you need to be doing. You don't have to go and guess. I've already built the map for you. But you have to first go through the process and build the map. Now that you have it, then you can start duplicating it, and Daniel's favorite word, scaling it, and so that you can get there to that 10X number. But you can't duplicate the process if you haven't first put it there and gone through the process yourself. So we've got about 10 minutes left. Anybody else got any takeaways that they want to share out of chapter 2 or 3? I know that I kind of got a little long-winded there, but I wanted to kind of help you guys understand, because this was a struggle for me. And as Daniel was violating the 10X rule, I could hear that in some of you that you probably were doing the same thing. So I felt like it was important that we touch on this.
I have something I want to share that I'm kind of excited about. You had mentioned, I don't know when you mentioned this, Sean, but you had mentioned that you have like a piece of paper in front of you that you have your successes of the day or in things you're
uh-huh.
grateful for.
Mm-hmm.
So I combined that with some other stuff that I recently learned. I was at like a seminar, and the guy read, well, you can call it affirmations or a declaration.
Uh-huh.
You can call it whatever you want, but I wrote that out finally for me, like what that means mm-hmm. for me. I used to be big on affirmations, but for some reason I stopped them when I get what I want. So anyway, I got my affirmations and my declaration. I call it my daily success sheet, which I just did this morning. And then I have read your personal goals, both personal and business, because I write down goals and then they just get lost in my tablet or wherever. But I wrote them down, and I said, read your goals. So I'm going to start reading my goals on a daily basis to really, you know, get them in front of me all the time.
Yep.
I know this sounds probably simple to some, but it's really not for me. I get sidetracked and, you know, whatever is going on.
See, that's the danger when you think that it's simple or common sense, it's usually not, and
mm-hmm.
nobody else is doing it. And so however you have to make it doable for you, or however you have to make it visible for you. For me, I have
mm-hmm.
my goals written on a sticky note in front of my monitor. So every time I log on to the computer, I'm forced to look at them. And then I also wrote
Good.
Them on a sticky note and stuck it on the back of my door where I hang my coat every morning when I get into the office.
Mm-hmm.
So multiple,
mm-hmm.
multiple places that I see these goals every single day. And I'm reminded, like, hey, this is what you're working for, man. Get there.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's awesome. And then I also have on here, like, successes of the day. What are you grateful for? Just to keep me focused. I wrote some other things, ideas to act on, because a lot of times you get these great ideas in the middle of the day, but you don't want to sidetrack or get off what you're working on now. So I actually have a place that I can write that on a daily, this is one piece of paper, and then tasks to get on the calendar. I just wrote these things down, and my plan is to keep my goals in front of me and stay focused on what I want. I mean, that's what I'm implementing.
Awesome. Yeah, and I put a sheet that I have. I've got my success journal that I write my declaration for the week and my successes and gratitudes in, but then I have a daily call sheet that I actually use with WooFoo, and it's something that I fill out. Not daily so much, probably more weekly, because with the more coaching I have, I don't have as many daily calls as I used to. I've used it more of a weekly recap, But on that form, I fill out what I put my own name in it, believe it or not. Yeah, I put my own name in it.
I think it's so funny. Sean woofoos himself.
I woofoo myself, and I hit submit, and that thing comes to me every single day. And so it has, some of the bullet points that I know that are important for me to do: check on my pods, call 10 old leads, post daily content, connect with 5 new agents. And then I put how much money did I make today, call notes, 3 successes for the day, and then what my goal is for tomorrow. And so that I send that out. And then it also serves as a way for, like, if I'm looking for some folks to follow up with, man, what was that guy's name again? I go back and I'm like, oh yeah, that one, there he is. And so I've got my little call notes and all that jazz. And then I keep in front of me every day how much money I made, and then what my goal is for the next day in terms of how much money I'm going to make the next day. And it's just another form of refresher.
And then, Sean, I had one other thing from Chapter 3 that I didn't really get to. I just realized it was on a different piece of paper. 3 points Grant made in Chapter 3 that everyone needs to kind of, I think, write down and look at them every day. Number 1, success is important. Number 2, or as Grant says, important. Number 2, success is your duty. And number 3, there is no shortage of success. And I love expanding on – I love when he expanded on that one. No matter how much success you get, there's an infinite supply. And no matter how much someone around you is successful, it's never going to impend or infringe on your success. You're always able to get more of it.
Yep. Yeah, I definitely believe in that. I've got plenty of people that those haters that are out there. And when I was at Liberty Mutual, they were there too, always trying to find ways to get me in trouble or this, that, or the other thing. And it's like, I always question, like, what does that do for you? Like, how's it helping you grow your business worrying about what Sean's doing? That, like, we can both be successful. I don't know why you think I have to not be successful in order for you to be successful. Why can't we both be successful? And I think that's absolutely the truth. And I think most of us probably get that. We're of that mindset. But people that come from a place of lack, they feel like, you have to beat somebody up, or you have to step on somebody in order to get where you want to go. And we can't just both get there together. We have to always step on somebody in order to get there. Somebody has to fall down for us to get there, because we can't both cross the finish line and reach the top at the same time. Like, there's only room enough for one person, when that's really not the truth, is that the universe has enough for everybody to be successful. And we were all designed to reach our fullest potential and be successful. And it really, like Daniel said, makes no difference what anybody else is doing. And that's why I really hate leader stack rankings, and I hate following corporate's agenda and their trips and their plaques and their things and their pats on the backs and their lunches and handshakes and hugs, because none of that really matters. What really matters is what you're trying to accomplish in your business and your agency and with your family and your life and things of that nature. And everybody can all get where they're trying to go with the right amount of effort. So it is 3:00, guys. I don't want to keep you. It's Friday. I hope you guys have a great weekend. And then make sure that you're on the calls. We're going to post a bit of new content in the Platinum, looking at Google and LinkedIn here in the next coming days. We're going to get you guys all with Google Places verified if you haven't already done so. We're going to show you how to do that. And then I posted a little screenshot. And once we get those, we're going to all help each other get some reviews, and that's going to help us get on first page placement with Google as well. So looking forward to next week, and we'll talk to you guys soon.